Welcome to the Parent Equation Podcast with me, Aisha Murray. This podcast series is full of inspiring stories from working parents who are passionate about designing a life that works for them and their families. Working parents like you who want a purposeful, rewarding career alongside a balanced family life. Today, I'm joined by Wendy Welpton. Wendy is the founder of Reclaim Movement, a mum of three. One of those three has turned into an adult this week, which is quite exciting. So happy birthday, Wendy. And Wendy, welcome.
Hi, thank you very much for having me. Really pleased to be here.
I'm so happy to have you here. Because a bit of context, Wendy and I worked together, we can't remember when, sometime in the late 90s, early 2000s, we think. Can't remember, which is fine. It was good fun times. Which is probably why I can't remember them.
Yes.
So Wendy, your career journey and through motherhood has been led, I suppose, by your own personal experiences as you've gone through life. And especially the business you have now, which is all about movement and natural movement, has come definitely from a place of personal experience. So maybe just talk us through a bit about where that started and how that, I suppose, where it coincided with the kids coming along.
Yeah, so I completely didn't expect to be doing the job I am doing now, especially not being a coach. And I've always been a mover. I've loved moving. I've always been a bit of a gym bunny when I was younger and so on. We obviously sat at our desks for 8+ hours a day for a long time. And that was me. It was very sort of normal existence. And then when I was during my children, basically, I suddenly decided that running would be a good thing for me. Now, often people do that because it's great. It's so easy. You just pull on your trainers, out you go, and you can run anywhere. So you haven't got the limitations of getting to the gym, etc. And for me, it was a great solution to get fitter again after my last child. I got completely and utterly addicted to it. So I had been only working part-time and very part-time. And I was thinking about it last night for pretty much a decade of having my little guys, which I hadn't planned at all. I had completely expected to work the entire way through having children, as my mum had. And I think that's, we all look to our role models and so on. And I didn't, because geographically it didn't work out. We moved around a lot. So when I was had free time, I really focused on moving. Moving has always been the thing that centered me. It's really helped me both physically, but also really mentally, to be honest, to sort of cope with the stresses and strains of three young boys. So then when I got into running, I got really into running because it was so easy to do. I really enjoyed it. But what I didn't realize was that I had a bit of a wobbly body. So I am hypermobile in some of my joints to a greater or lesser extent. When you run, you put a lot of impact force through your body, as we all know, which is why you often don't see lots of 80-year-old runners. And I got so into it, I started doing longer and longer distances. My body started telling me this is not happy and that's not happy until I got to half marathon distance, which I did. And then later that year, I went out for a very normal training run in the winter. And during the night after that training run, I woke up and had extreme pain down back and legs and couldn't walk. And that was then the shift in my life. Everything changed. And rather than being able to find out what had gone wrong, unfortunately, I didn't get a lot of help. And that then turned into me trying to discover what on earth was going on with my body. And long story short, it was 4 years of chronic pain. And that therefore made me incredibly frustrated because I didn't have that sort of mental relief of running that I needed to cope with bringing up a young family and all of the rest that comes with that. I was really got quite depressed, but I decided that this was not my lot because I feared at the age of 40, feeling like I was 80 already, and very immobile and just not being the person I was. I really feared for my future. So I did lots of research and that's where I found natural movement. And that's, again, long story short, where I have come to now. So now, that was when I was 40. I've just turned 49 and I have been coaching now for nearly 4 years.
I'm thinking about it from a working parent point of view, with three young boys at the time, yes. Being immobile,
yes,
is not something any of us needs
no.
with a life like that.
And boys do have a lot of energy. Girls have a lot of energy too, but boys do have a lot of energy. And I had always seen myself as that active parent. Mm. And yet when they asked me to do certain things, I had to say no. I couldn't join in. I couldn't help because I knew I would then have 3 days of a flare up afterwards and be miserable with them. That was the problem. A lot of the time it was that I just didn't have the patience. I would get very upset very easily. And I was really upset with myself. But it's very hard when, you know, they're really pulling your strings, mm-hmm. not to then take it out a bit on them when you really don't want to. So yeah, it was really tough. And I was, yeah, so I was juggling things, as we all do.
And do you think then it gets hard to imagine a different path when you've been down this one? Mm. So embedded. Do you think if you hadn't had, I suppose, that catalyst of your injury and then taking you down this path, do you think you would have stayed in your, I suppose, corporate office-based sitting down career?
Well, by that point, I was doing part-time marketing consultancy. So I was working from home, all virtually. We were using not the amazing technology we have now, but it still worked. And I just realized that after 2 or 3 years of doing it, that it just wasn't me and I didn't know what was. So it was very interesting because I've always wanted to be an entrepreneur. I've always wanted to build something for myself and have actually dabbled with a few small business ideas in the past. I don't know if you remember me dabbling with a knee patches idea because my boys, the clothes constantly had holes in the knees. And I thought there must be some good patches out there that are washable. And I did a whole months and months of research. Got to the point where I found out that to invest in getting a good glue was going to cost $3,000 or something, and thought, well, that stops there then. And a couple of other things. So I was constantly looking alongside for something else to do. And then suddenly this happened. And in so doing, all the learning that I did for it, I had to really research what on earth was happening to me. But also the key part was working out why this had happened to me. Why over many years had my body got to a point that I could sort of jump around in a gym and yet then be so deeply injured. And natural movement, when I came across it, you know, via someone, all the lights went on. And I thought, this is exactly it. It's a missing part of our lives. Now, when you've got small children, you're on the ground a lot. Mm. You're having to get up and down to the ground a lot. And that's great. But then when that passes, of course, you get to the chair. And yet, because we miss out that sort of, I talk about the most important meter you travel. When you miss out that, you start to be less able to do it. And you start to use your hips in a very similar way every day. So, and the most important thing about natural movement is fitting it in through your daily life. And again, when you have got little kids, and if you are at home, then you are doing that more, but it all changes as they grow up. So lots of lights went on. And I just thought, actually, this is a way of moving and understanding the way I move that I can do something with in the future. But also I realized through talking to people, I'd learned a lot. I'd learned so much that I thought, hang on, I need to share this with people. And then it all came together. And I thought, could I? I didn't tell people for a long time. I trained to be the coach. I got my qualification. And then I went on a business course and thought, actually, I need to start saying this out loud to people around me to be accountable because I actually really want to do this. And it was that point as well that I realized that my boys had never seen me working. They'd never actually seen the sort of product of my work. It had always been when they were either at nursery or school. And I had three boys and I really wanted them to have a mother who was a role model that was doing something for herself. Mm. And they are very proud of me now. They talk about reclaim movement. And when we're out on walks and balancing on logs, as we do, they talk about reclaiming their movement, which they shouldn't be at their age. But yeah, they're very, very proud of it all.
But you're embedding a mindset, obviously, in them, not just with regards to running a business and being an entrepreneur successfully, but also with the movement, how to look after your body, actually at the right time, which is then, not when it's too late.
Hopefully, exactly. We hope that when we say things to our kids, even if they come back with an alternative view, that actually it is embedded. And there's been many times with my kids where I've heard them say to someone else something that we've said to them. And that's always a proud moment because you think, yeah, they have listened deep down, even when they're teens and they really don't say that they are listening.
It's going in. And also, I guess the business you're running, yes, the role modeling is they can see you.
To work with me, find out more at aishamari.com.
Also seeing you help
connect with me on LinkedIn,
and the results they're seeing,
or check out my free resources and quizzes at aishamari.com/resources.
Maybe this is my own perception versus us sitting in our office as we did in the 90s.
Yes.
Potentially not seeing the impact of our work. maybe didn't have any impact. I don't know. If it did, it certainly wasn't visible to us.
Yeah.
So that must be a huge, well, obviously a huge shift, but it's so rewarding from a
yes.
point of view.
It's really rewarding. And I think that they can see in me that I feel very fulfilled by what I'm doing. And looking back, I don't think I was fulfilled in that way when they were younger. And I hope that sort of didn't come across to them. But at the same time, now them seeing this sort of all come together, yes, I really hope they can see that it's important that you have different facets to your life. And with my husband, he has always worked outside the home. So even in the pandemic, he went to the office because him and his business partner sort of sat two opposite ends of the office. So he's always gone out to work in that way that they could sort of see it, even though they then would occasionally say, "What does Dad do?" Oh, yeah, I don't really know. But they were seeing such traditional roles happening. Mm. And now when Dad comes home, there's much more of a balance of, right, well, there's this many jobs to do. I'm still working. Can you carry this bit of load and vice versa? And so they're really seeing as a team. I think that's a really important thing. They're not necessarily copying it themselves just yet. We're trying our hardest. And through this exam period we've just had, we've been very relaxed. But I've said to all of them that as soon as that finishes, things are going to change.
Yeah, not a silent partner in this organization anymore.
Yeah, exactly.
And your story, I suppose, or your journey is similar to many mums of a certain age who have a career of a structured, expected, I suppose, career path. And then something happens to give them that motivation, catalyst, whatever you want to call it, to change and to do something for themselves or to change career or to do whatever, leave the country, who knows. Which is great, obviously. How do you think we can, or one can, make that change earlier, find a catalyst before, I suppose, start to role model these things actually when the kids are younger? Is there, I don't know, is there some kind of trick that maybe we missed when we were on that hamster wheel rat race that we could have looked at?
I really think the answer is no, because to find the thing that is going to really excite you and make you feel passionate, genuinely passionate, you need to have been searching. So I suppose, yes, you can start searching earlier, but I was, and I went through a few things. So I think my thoughts on that would be, don't go into everything thinking it's going to be the thing. Mm-hmm. Try a few different things as I did, and then always be sort of self-analytical. Is it really doing for you? You what you want it to be doing? Is it fitting in with your life? And what are your goals in the long term with it? And I think then when you come across something that you really do enjoy, even though there's clearly going to be downsides with that, thinking about, is this something that can sustain you for a long time? And now in my position, I can't imagine not doing this now. And I'm about to turn 50 next year. So, you know, how long will I be working for? Hopefully quite a long time. And it has changed. It has gone through lots of different iterations. I've currently got a membership. Before that, I just did standalone classes, didn't do so much private coaching. Now I do quite a bit more, but also I'd like to start a podcast, as you know, and I do a lot of different things and I write a lot. So that might be squirreled away for something in the future. And I like doing things like this. I love the variety of it. So I think it's got to be about finding something that you really enjoy and that fits. It has to fit. And for me, having three boys at three different schools for the last few years, with various sort of school runs or them getting out different times and so on, you know, you are limited. We're all limited in those school hours. And I like to try to clock off when they're back. Now, when they're older, they just go straight to their rooms and how is your day? Fine. Is, you know, we all know that. So I can often do a little bit more then. But then particularly when it comes to food and sitting down around a table, for me, that's absolutely sacrosanct and a really important part of the day to reconnect, whether it's to fight or to laugh. But it's, for me, it's really, really key. And then trying to be relaxed and have me time or, you know, couple time after that, where we walk along. So we'll often walk after dinner just for half an hour and so on. So it's got to fit. But you're right, it would be lovely if we could find these things earlier. It really would. But I think life just has to take its path.
Yeah. And I suppose all the experience that we gain over the years leads to different paths, different opportunities, the right conversations at the right time, hopefully, right. Rather than the, you know, et cetera.
Yes.
So talk about time, family time, busy households, and thinking partly personally, but also from people I speak to, is finding that time for ourselves, especially with a busy young kids household when they do need us a lot more. and linked to the movement and not doing enough of the movement. And I know I certainly don't, because my dog, but it's still probably quite functional. So a lot of my me time will be sitting down with a book or a screen or a something or other. So I suppose, where can we as parents, and maybe younger kids who do need us more, there's a lot more, we haven't got as much time.
Yeah.
Where can we start to introduce this movement into our lives?
I think it's really important that we shift our thinking about how valuable just moving is. And everyone knows how important exercise is. And we use that word. It's a very loaded term for some, where actually they're unable to do certain types of exercise. And therefore they feel that they are marginalized, that they're not doing enough. And that's just not true, because moving, every time we move, we're firing up our systems. Mm-hmm. So one of the biggest problems is actually when we're sat in an office, you know, hardly moving for 8 hours, Zoom meeting after Zoom meeting, not getting up and doing things in between. And that can be really tough. But even 5 minute movement breaks can add a lot in. So I talk a lot about thinking about the shapes we make with our body during the day, because we can be very linear, seat based. We're very chair posed a lot of the time, and mixing up those movements and really making different patterns with our body so that we become resilient in sort of 360 degrees of movement. But also thinking about how you can stack on those types of healthy movements onto the things you're doing anyway, because that's how we add in without having to think about it. So I do, on my social media particularly, I do a lot of sort of examples, like when you're getting the washing out of the washing machine, which you're doing how many times a week, then try to do a squat. Easier for some, not so easy for others. Put something under your heels if you need to. But if you start to link the washing machine with the place that you squat, then every time you're there, you do a squat. Mm. I do calf stretches when I brush my teeth. I've got a foam half dome that I have at my sink. And then the kids see you doing these things too, and they start to copy you, which is, you know, can be fun. But also thinking about, am I bending down, curving through my spine, or can I get down using my hips on my legs? So putting things in low cupboards, all these little sort of hacks become really useful. But it's the key thing is your mindset around it. So I used to stand there folding the washing and putting it into the piles, folding it, and kind of just be annoyed, because this is like 10, 15 minutes of time. I wish I was doing something else. Whereas now I take the washing to a space on the ground. So I have to lift it over. I have to take it down weighted to the ground. So my body is going the whole way down to the ground. And then when I sit there, I move through a variety of sitting positions as I put the washing in the piles around me. And therefore I'm getting a 10 minute movement break where I'm getting lots of really healthy movement into my hips and my knees and my spine. So then I'm thinking, oh, this is good. I feel I'm quite happy to do the washing now, because I know I'm getting that movement in. So I think it's twisting it all to say movement is a really positive thing that we need. How can we make it easy on ourselves through the day? I teach crawling. So the best time for crawling when you've got little ones is clearly when you're clearing up the Lego and shoving it all into a box. But see that as a good thing to do. And there's three different ways you can crawl. So learning different ways to move, that's obviously where I come in with my movement break videos and so on. That's what I teach. So part of my teaching is a class where you're just moving with me. But my real passion is getting people moving outside of that time. So they're learning in that time, and then they're applying it to those daily jobs that they have to do. But also feeling good that you are getting those movements in when you can is really, really key.
Two things I didn't think I'd ever hear. Well, one thing I didn't think I'd ever hear is washing machine and do a squat. So two things I wouldn't normally put together, but I can see why.
Yes.
And a second is congratulations on folding your laundry, because I certainly don't.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you very kindly. Yes.
I do find something else to do. Yes. Shove it in a big pile in the washing basket and hope it does something to itself.
Yes. Oh, I know. And the interesting thing about having three boys who are all going to be definitely taller than their father is that very early on, the clothes, you can get less clothes in each wash. They have these very large jumpers, these massive hoodies, and massive jogging bottoms. So you're trying to shove it all in, and it's like, but hang on, that means there's three washes.
And you talked a bit about guilt there, and about, I suppose, exercise, or not guilt, but the sort of loaded nature of the word exercise.
Yeah.
Which I think is absolutely right. And I can't run. I have, what's it called now? I've got to remember. Acute something syndrome.
Right.
A very, very sort of technical term there.
Yes.
Muscular compartment syndrome. That's what I have.
Okay. Okay.
In my legs. I've had it for my whole life and I can't run because if I run, my legs basically seize up.
Yeah.
But down the front, shins. Not shin splints, it's different, but it's a similar outcome. I just my legs go to fire and I can't move. So I always had this massive guilt and frustration that I'd love when you talk about running earlier, the thought of going for a run in this beautiful weather, clear your mind.
Well,
it's amazing. But
that's where walking comes in and you are walking. And and another thing, so again, people are sort of, oh, it's just walking. Walking is one of the most beneficial forms of exercise, if you're needing to call it that. For me, movement particularly, that you can do, because again, it's all the same advantages as running, but actually there are more, because you can actually stop and see the things around you. You can really take the time to talk with someone rather than just through panting and breath. And you can do it anywhere. You can do it loaded. It can be a strengthening thing by putting, the name for that is rucking, where you put some weight in your backpack. So it's actually really, because it is a weight bearing exercise after all, bone on bone. And you can mix up your terrain, your length of time you do it, the speed you do it. It can be an absolutely brilliant form of exercise. And yet it's probably, we take it for granted. It's just to get from A to B, not as exciting. But the reality is I'm now addicted to walking where I was addicted to running. And I'm quite happy with the shift. And I do see people out running like you and think, yeah, I wish I could still do that maybe one day. And then I think, well, no, I don't have to, because I know I can run for a bus or I can run away from a fire. And that's kind of the main thing that I need to do. But the same goes with, for example, just to slightly move on a tangent, things like upper body strength. Well, I train people to be functional in their lives, because if you had to rescue your child from a burning building and you had to push up over something whilst lifting them, could you do that? And those things are, they seem sort of ridiculous because they're not part of daily life. And yet having the strength to be able to do that could really serve you well at some point. So joking aside.
No, I know. But you're right, though. I didn't think about sort of, again, the practicalities, I suppose, the real life application.
Exactly what we call it.
Oh, exactly.
That is actually what we call it. Real life application. Exactly. So when you get up off the ground, you can do it in a myriad of different ways. One of the ways is called a tripod transition, where you have opposite hand and foot are pushing into the ground. But you can also use that to get over something. So if you can imagine leaning on a wall and then the central leg transitions over. Now, I couldn't do that at all at the beginning. I really found it tough. And now I have gained the mobility and the strength to be able to do that. And being able to do it means you do it more, and therefore that keeps you more mobile and strong. So it's like all these things, the lovely cliche is very true, use it or lose it. You do need to use these patterns that, particularly as you age, I do things like getting down towards the floor to tie your shoes, laces and so on. And I want my kids to see me being an independent person. I don't want to see them thinking, oh, we need to help mum again. I want to be that, you know, strong, resilient, independent person. So yeah, that's important to me as well, that they see me that way. And they see it online clearly, because, you know, they see it on my social media accounts and so on. So they know what it's all about, as well as seeing me do it.
Yeah. And then as women of a certain age, as we are, so approaching that decade that shall not be mentioned. Well, I don't know, I'm quite happy about 50. Sure, I don't mind. It's fine.
Most of my friends are there, well into it. So yeah, I'm the youngie.
You're lagging behind. Yeah. But so for us as women, obviously now menopause being thankfully a subject being talked about a lot more. Again, definitely feeling as that is now on the horizon, or in it, partly in it, is the difference in my body and the difference in my knees and the neck crick every morning, and the sort of things are starting to feel older. And I don't think before menopause had been discussed so much more openly as it is now, I had not given it any kind of thought as to actually how's it going to impact me, not just emotionally, but physically. So what are your kind of insights and tips into how can we prepare for that physically, so that when it does happen, hopefully everything doesn't start actually falling off?
Well, yes, definitely don't want it to fall off. I mainly work with women I work with men and women, but the women that come to me tend to be 50s, and then I have some early 60s and some late 40s. So we're right there. It's all happening, and it's all about stiffness, where we are losing that estrogen. And one of the most beneficial things that you can do for menopausal symptoms, along with the whole list of other things, is to move, because when you do, you are firing up all those systems, and that helps to balance out your hormones more. Now, clearly, some people have much more significant shifts. Mm. I was one of them. So 2 years ago, I hadn't really thought that menopause was going to do anything to me. I'd asked my mum. She said, oh, I didn't really notice. I'm not sure she remembers well, but maybe she didn't. I stopped sleeping, and having been an incredibly heavy sleeper, I literally was pacing the house all night trying to run the business, and found that a big struggle trying to be patient with the boys. It hit me hard. So I decided, I did my research and took the decision to go on HRT, which has been a huge blessing. And so I'm truly grateful. And that has also helped joints. So I was also getting creakier knees, just that creakiness, that stiffness that you weren't expecting before. But so there's the side where you do have to think about what is happening with the hormones and whether you want to make a choice about that or not, whether you can or not. But then there's also knowing that when we do sit particularly for long periods and don't use our musculoskeletal system regularly, that things are going to get stiffer. And I have clients who have added in the 5-minute movement breaks that I talk about, which can be a mini balance while you're boiling the kettle. It can be hopefully getting down on the floor and doing some reverses that I teach, that a whole variety of things, but just a few of those throughout the day, and perhaps some nice loosening things in the morning and at night, can really, really help to alleviate those symptoms. So it's all about the regularity of movement and the different shapes that we make.
I think you told me once that, talking about the boys, and again, you know, sort of the parenting, being a menopausal working parent, if we're going to add another
Adjective
into that. And then the difficulty of not only managing our own emotions during this tumultuous time.
Yes.
But then having to understand how your emotions are impacting your kids.
Absolutely.
Because this is all new to them too, obviously. And husband, partners, friends, family, etc.
Completely, completely. And given that the generation before probably didn't really talk about it very much. I have clients who are 5-10 years older than me who said it just wasn't being discussed. So I feel very, very grateful that I was in a community of women who are all talking about it and supporting and helping each other. But then I realized that my family, as you say, my boys, had no idea what this was about. So I decided, I've always been very open about everything I can be with them. And they certainly are with me too much sometimes too. And I decided to educate them about it, and to say this is what's happening, and to be honest when times were tough. And the insomnia was a really tough point, because I would be very emotional and have a very short fuse, and I would excuse it by saying I've lack of sleep because of my hormones, but I would always also say, but I'm trying, so please be patient with me, and tomorrow will hopefully be a better day, and so on. And yeah, my poor husband got the worst end of the stick on that one for sure. But I think it's really important that we do educate our children about menopause, because literally half the population are going to go through it, a huge proportion with symptoms. And, you know, as you well know, it's really affecting people in work, lots of women having to take time off. And I can think of a lot of examples throughout my friendship group and throughout my husband's work, where there have been some really serious situations where women have had to take significant time off because it has been very bad, because they haven't had the awareness that it was coming. And then that's very hard for particularly your own business. If that's happening, you can really only give the absolute minimum. And obviously if you're working for someone else, that can be really detrimental. So it's absolutely our responsibility to talk to our kids about it, but also to then celebrate it as well. I think there's been an awful lot of negativity about menopause. And although it can be a hard stage to go through, it's a lovely sort of reset in some ways in a woman's life. And hopefully then, particularly if there have been symptoms, brings a focus into that for that woman to their body to say how important it is to create that time for yourself to move, to be calm, to relax, to be mindful, to go out walking more, to share the experience with friends. All of these things are key. And if that can then set us up for the rest of our lives, putting that time into ourselves, then I think we'll all be better off.
It's interesting. I think as you're saying that, I think we do that in pregnancy.
We do.
So in pregnancy, we obviously are responsible for something else, which is where the focus goes, probably why we do it. But we look after ourselves, we exercise, we do gentle exercise, obviously we drink less, et cetera, all that kind of thing. But we focus in on our bodies and what our bodies need and what that baby needs.
Yes.
For that 9 months. And then
we forget ourselves.
And then we forget, exactly. And then the baby comes out, babies, plural.
Yes.
And then for that whole time, we forget about our bodies and what we need and what we're putting into it and all these kind of things. And until either something happens, as in your case with your injury, and then you have to, or you get to a menopause state where it's, again, it's forced on you. But it's a long time in between kids and something like that happening to essentially, apart from doing exercise in the kind of sort of magazine view, you know, go to the gym, go for a run, those sort of things, but actually forget about ourselves for such a long period of time.
It is. And I do believe that at any age, you can make a huge improvement if you, like anything, are committed to doing that and really want to see a difference. It's incredibly hard. It's habit forming is a really, really hard thing to do as a human. We're drawn so many other ways. But actually, those couple of decades, particularly if you've had your kids in your 30s, like I did, then already your muscles are getting smaller, your bone density is decreasing, and we need to really be working against that on a regular basis. It's not something that we can park for the future. And I talk about in one of my blogs, you can't bank movement. And I think the problem is it's like, oh, I'll do lots and lots at the weekend and then that's me for the week. It doesn't work like that. It really doesn't work like that. And that's why allowing ourselves to have 5 minutes here and there, and then particularly tuning in to how we feel after we've done it. Do we feel better than we did before? Is the ache less? Do we feel a little bit energized? And for productivity, when you're working, that's a great thing. So if you can go off, get away from the desk and just do a few sort of little bouncy moves, twists and swings with the body, some reaches and stretches, anything that makes lovely shapes, but also really gets you moving. I don't mean in terms of sweaty, jumpy, uppy, downy. Oh, you don't need to be doing that, but enough that you're just firing up all your systems. If you then go back to your desk, you will find your productivity is better because, you know, we all know that feeling where our brains just kind of go a bit bleh after a while when we've been doing something for too long. And so actually movement can really help there. So it's helping both with your work and productivity, but also with your body because you're adding in these little snacks of movement throughout the day.
I'm envisaging now a whole floor in an office all having their 5 minute movement break in the lift lobby or
and
something.
And we need to normalize it. We need kind of, you know, in some factories, they will have a klaxon, will go once in the middle of the morning, once in the middle of the afternoon, where there's a movement break. This is not in this cup, by the way.
I was going to say, it doesn't sound like a UK thing.
No. And they all move. So in whichever way that they can, and a lot of the movement sessions are led, and it can be 5 or 10 minutes, but it's just that break that's needed. And that's obviously normally in a manual job, particularly when you've got something you do very repetitively. It's really important that you break that as regularly as you can. But it's what we're doing when we're sitting and typing and zooming, that's repetitive. That is, we get repetitive strain of being in that chair position with our neck perhaps not looking at the screen as well as we should and so on. If we see that the same way and realize we have to not do that and break it up just 2 minutes here, 5 minutes there, then yeah, we will be better off in the long run.
I have a standing desk for that reason.
Perfect.
After this, I'll whiz my desk up for standing and then stand for the rest of the day.
So I use my standing desk on the floor.
Well, of course.
Of course. So my standing desk, I use at standing at eye level. Then I shift it down to chair like we are now. And then I take it down to the ground and I sit and I move my legs around the standing desk. I do quite a lot about that on my social media. And I always get so many comments saying, where did you get your floor desk? And I always reply, it's a standing desk. It's just on the floor.
Oh,
so think of things differently.
I didn't go down that far, but that's very interesting.
Yeah, it's a bit like you see the world around you, question it and do things differently. Lots of people will see a low wall and think that's a wall that means that I can't go the other side of it. Children will automatically jump on that wall and balance along it. Why don't adults? So I do that and I look funny, but I don't care anymore because I know it's good for me. It's fun and I love it. And the kids love seeing you doing it.
Yeah, I'm already trying to sit straight a little.
Everyone does.
So Wendy, thank you so much in there. A raft of subjects which I knew we would cover. So if people want to find out more about you, about Reclaim Movement, about movement generally, where's the best place to find you?
So my website that shows all that I have on offer, there's some lovely free resources on there. There's also information about my membership and so on, is reclaimmovement.co.uk. But I socially, and I never thought I'd say this before I did my business, but socially I mainly live on Instagram, and that's at reclaim.movement. And I've also recently put more emphasis onto my YouTube channel, which is the same, at reclaim.movement. So yeah, there's lots out there to use and to inspire. And yeah, I'd love anyone to connect with me if it has resonated.
Perfect. It definitely will. How can movement not resonate?
Hopefully.
Yes. Thank you so much, Wendy. Have a great rest of the day. Thank you.
Thank you so much for having me. I've really enjoyed it.
To work with me, find out more at aishamari.com, connect with me on LinkedIn, or check out my free resources and quizzes at aishamari.com/resources.